Take five!
Welcome to Her Fantasy Football. You can hear us on Blog Talk Radio / Her Fantasy Football and on iTunes. You can also hear us on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio Saturday night from 8 to 10 Eastern. Make sure to subscribe to us on HerFantasyFootball.com so you can take part in our fun diced game that we have on FanDuel every week. We'll send you an email at 9 a.m. Eastern time with the rules, our four basket ingredients, so you know how to play and set your lineup. You can also chat with us on Twitter at HerFantasyFB and on Facebook / HerFantasyFootball. I'm your host, Courtney Kirby.
And I'm Ashley Williams.
And I am Brandon Marianne Lee.
And it's week 9, everybody. Dun, 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 dun. If your player wasn't eliminated by injury last week, which a lot of them were, they are definitely eliminated this week by byes. Six teams on byes. Get them out of your lineups. This is tough, guys. Arizona Cardinals, Baltimore Ravens, Detroit Lions, Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Seattle Seahawks. So bad. Although probably there were more players who are actually like viable fantasy options in week eight.
That's true. I'd agree with that.
With only four teams, but it doesn't matter. With eight teams, your wide receiver three is gone. Maybe you're running back as well. You know, there's a tight end here.
Some decent ones. Carson Palmer, Chris Johnson, Steve Smith Sr., although out with injury, and I am heartbroken.
Ugh. That was the
saddest thing. Do you think he's going to retire? I don't think he's going to retire. I don't think he's going to go out like that.
He said that he may not retire, which
is fine. Good. I bet he's not. I bet he's coming back. He's coming back.
Steve Smith Sr., part of why I like to play fantasy football.
It really is.
It's seriously.
He can't go out like that. He can't. No. It's not right. The world would not be right if that's how it ended.
I agree.
I concur too. It's crazy.
Yeah. I will also say that Ryan Mallett isn't wanted by any NFL team.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, some of my teams need a quarterback, and they're all like, Ryan Mallett's not a good fit. And I'm like, translation, he's on the blacklist.
Oh, yeah.
Also, no one wants Joseph Randall, which we'll talk about later in the show. But you're like, don't people need running backs and quarterbacks? Guess not. That's how bad these two have fallen.
Yeah.
Sad.
But they'll take Greg Hardy, but not Joseph Randall.
Well, I just can't even go there.
Yeah.
Ray Rice is still not picked up, so.
Probably for their leadership.
There's a small victory.
Skills.
Small victory.
Well, he actually feels sorry about what he did and actually put in, you know, community service.
This is true.
Who did?
This is true. Ray Rice.
Ray Rice.
Ray Rice, yes.
Correct. Right. And you know I'm not an advocate, but I'm just saying, like, if there's anyone that should be reinstated, it's actually that guy, and he won't be because he's the scapegoat for them.
Well, you know what? I'm happy we got brought on to men who like to hit women because we're going to Thursday night game. Cleveland Browns 2-6 at Cincinnati Bengals 7-0, and I'm pretty sure Manziel is in this game. Is he not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's Johnny Football time.
Johnny Football time.
So there were investigations into whether or not he had a domestic incident with his girlfriend in a car with alcohol. I'm very confused by it, and somehow it's gotten swept under the rug. Doesn't matter. He stinks at football, so he's not on your team anyway.
Although he's always good for like one big play of the game, and that usually is to Travis Benjamin.
That's right.
Right, and then he'll get you negative points with turnovers.
Aww.
I know, I'm such a Debbie Downer.
You are a Debbie Downer. Hey, we got six teams on bye, people.
You're not playing Johnny Football.
No.
Again, I'm repeating that. This means that Josh McCown is very, very hurt because Mike Pettine would have rather jammed a thick needle into the top of his private parts than to start Manziel by choice. So
he still wasn't low enough to pick up Mallett.
He still didn't start Ryan Mallett. I'm telling you, you guys, Mike Pettine hates Johnny Football.
That's true.
This is clear. He would do anything other than start Johnny Manziel if it was his choice. It's unbelievable.
Other than sign Ryan Mallett.
Missing that plane really just kind of put the period on that. McCown has injured ribs, but more importantly, he injured his throwing shoulder, which is really what is... Manziel has 3 touchdowns to 3 interceptions and 2 fumbles. That's 5 total turnovers on his career, so you can take that to the bank. He did air it out to Travis Benjamin, so I don't hate Travis Benjamin this week if you need to stream a wide receiver, especially with 6 teams on bye, although Cincinnati gives up the 10th fewest points to opposing wide receivers, so it's kind of a yin and yang on that move. But Brian Hartline is out with a concussion. So is Andrew Hawkins. Taylor Gabriel is the number 2 guy. You're not playing him. Duke Johnson has been pretty solid. His problem is coaching. And now that Manziel is never actually, he has never actually thrown a ball to Duke Johnson. So I don't love that.
Value is dropped.
You can. You probably can't, but it is what it is. Supposedly Cincinnati gives up the 15th most points to opposing running backs, so it's not a terrible matchup, but this is about Johnny Manziel more than anything else. You're allowed to start Gary Barnage always. Can't all be Gary Barnage.
Nope.
That's right.
I wish we could. They still target him 6 to 11 times per game, with or without Johnny Manziel, so go for it.
Last week was the Barnage show. This week's going to be the Mallet show.
Mallet show.
Yeah.
Bengals.
At least he's not Ryan Mallett.
At least he's not Ryan. Oh, that's so true. So
Mallet.
I like this matchup a lot for the Bengals because here's the deal. The Browns give up the most in almost every single category, right? 10th most to quarterbacks, 2nd most to running backs, 15th most to wide receivers, 14th most to tight ends, 14th most to kickers, and 3rd most to defenses. So Andy Dalton and them should have fun this week. Now, here's the deal. What did I tell you about the Bengals reflecting and going to give the rock to Hill after the bye week? I was right, and it was useless. He went 60 yards off 15 attempts. Not okay. They completely ditched Giovanni Bernard, which we were nervous about, who only had 1 carry for 12 yards and 2 catches for 22, but he almost scored a touchdown at least, and he actually still looked good, and they still continued to roll with Jeremy Hill majority of the game, and that is incredibly frustrating. I think they're going to continue this week as well. Because the possibility is a good matchup for running backs, I think they're going to try to use this as they get the 2nd most running backs as a bounce back week for Jeremy Hill, since last week was not exactly what they were hoping for. But they're gung-ho on trying to get, you know, on rolling with Jeremy Hill. So this is the week for Jeremy Hill to get it together. And if he can't, then I hope they wise up and go back to Giovanni Bernard. Sad situation. Not surprising, A.J. Green, he carried the offense last week. He had 11 catches. 118 yards, a little cherry on top with a game-winning touchdown. AJ Green owners are very happy. I think he'll be happy again this week. And then Andy Dalton. So this one is interesting. If you look history-wise at Andy Dalton, so he had 6 touchdowns and 10 interceptions in the last 5 rendezvous that he's had against the Cleveland Browns. So historically, not great. And the Bengals have lost the last 3 out of 5 outings to Cleveland. But if we also look at the history of this year, he's killing it. Andy Dalton has done so well, and I will choose to believe the latter of history. I'm going to, despite this being a primetime game, which Andy Dalton historically has not shined in primetime games, like bad. We're talking like
really bad.
3-point game bad. I think he's a changed man. So normally I would always tell you to bench Andy Dalton in a primetime game because historically he is so poor in them. But you know what? I'm going to go with it. He's got 15 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions this year. His 6-6 completion rating. I think this is going to be the primetime game. This is going to change it.
Do you remember when we saw this game last year at the Greenwich
They got destroyed. I think Andy Dalton.
Running back and Cleveland scored. We didn't even know we were on the team.
Andy Dalton had like 1 point, literally 1 point that game.
I think so too. It was really bad.
It was really bad.
It's okay. But you know what?
He's a changed man. I like it.
I think there's a Lifetime movie about that.
Could be.
Sunday morning games, guys. Oh, the Green Bay Packers 6-1 at the Carolina Panthers 7-0.
Can I just say I'm so glad that there's not a London game this week that I have to get up at like 7 a.m.
So happy.
Go to brunch.
That's right.
So, the Green Bay Packers. Well, they did not play well against Denver.
No.
Yeah. We'll start there. Carolina's given up the 3rd fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Also, Rodgers has only thrown 1 time for over 300 yards. all season.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's real. That was on September 28th versus the Kansas City Chiefs, who, as you know, give up a ton of points to quarterbacks. That was also the last time Randall Cobb had a double-digit outing for fantasy. September 28th, the date that will live in infamy. in week two and week three, he had double digits. Since then, no go. I thought this offense would be much better. I did. But obviously, they need Jordy Nelson. It's become pretty clear the longer we've gone into the season. Eddie Lacy, only two touchdowns on the season. Week one and week eight, oddly enough, versus the Broncos. That was their touchdown. So that was good. I do think that they're going back to Eddie Lacy, though, so that's the good news. So better days are ahead. Their bye is behind them. Next week, they play Detroit, then Minnesota, then they're home versus Chicago, and then they're at Detroit. This is good. Yeah. Minnesota's the only tough matchup in there. Things will get better, but I don't think this is the bounce back week at Carolina. No. They're just not as good on the road. Josh Norman's a real deal. I don't like anything about this.
And Carolina has this fire under them. You know, it's like Steve Smith is still on the team kind of fire, you know? It is like this fire that just is igniting, and it's so enjoyable to watch. Yeah. And I can't imagine playing against them. Especially after what the coach said, the Green Bay Packers coach said about the Denver game. He's like, I haven't gotten my ass kicked like that coaching, and I don't even know how long. You know? And that's the truth. The Denver game
was shocking.
Just got their butts kicked. And in this week, you know, the Panthers are real. So,
well, and I think the Broncos really called out the Packers too in terms of the secondary. I think it was Chris Harris who talked about the second phase coverage. So, like, you can't just do the bump and run coverage immediately. There's then a second round of coverage, and that's how they're able to get hold Aaron Rodgers to, I think it's like 77 yards or something.
Well, and they also got pressure to Aaron Rodgers, which nobody else is able to do because Aaron Rodgers throws that ball out of his hands so freaking quick. Yeah. I mean, they only got, like, I want to say one or two sacks, but the number of times that they actually hit him, the time that he's actually went down to hit the ground, was so much more than he's ever seen before. And Carolina's a good enough defense that it's like, bam, saw what Denver did. That's all we have to do. Okay, game on. You know?
And so Josh Norman's the best second, you know, corner in the league, in my opinion, right now.
Yeah. But Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib are no slouch.
There's no. Like, they're.
And so that's the thing. These are two back-to-back tough games. If you have Aaron Rodgers, you're probably playing him, right? You're not going to be like, you know what, I think I'm going to put Blake Bortles in this week. But at the same time, there's a possibility Blake Bortles or someone like that's going to have a better game.
I would probably put Blake Bortles in this week over Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, I wouldn't daily.
How many points did Aaron Rodgers get last week, do we know? It wasn't anything, right?
6 points, I think. Yeah. It depends on your league, of course.
Obviously, yeah, you're right.
But, it was not even close. Yeah. So, he had different scores for different leagues, but it was not, he didn't even hit double digits. I think he'll probably hit double digits this week. But listen, I mean, the Denver Broncos have been holding quarterbacks to 10 points or less every week.
Yeah.
So it wasn't shocking, and I'm just saying it's not shocking this week. That's all I'm saying. I think he'll do a little better this week. I think that they learned a lot. I think it was shocking for them. You could tell Aaron Rodgers.
He did. He just, like, bewildered. Like, I don't know what to do.
His mind was blown. Yeah.
But most defenses aren't like Carolina and Denver. That's what I'm saying. Good days are ahead. Don't freak out completely. But unfortunately, there are two back-to-back really tough matchups.
Carolina?
For everybody. I don't like anyone on the team.
All right. Panthers, that's you too.
Oh, gosh, yeah, sorry. I was like, why doesn't someone talk about the next team? Okay, this one's easy. Cam Newton's a baller.
Yep.
What?
I'm sorry, I adore him. He's had a couple of big games, but really it's about his floor. He's had 12 or more points in every single outing. He runs the ball. He does everything. And if Ted Ginn Jr. could just catch the frickin' ball ever.
But that was such a bad game in terms of the weather. Like, everybody. Greg Olsen was dropping balls that were right in his hand.
Right. It was tough. They still won.
Did you guys see the post show with Greg Olsen interviewing with Trent Dilfer? He is huge. He looked like he was 2 feet taller than all these professional athletes.
Yeah, he did look massive next to them. Even next to Ray Lewis, he looked monstrous.
Yeah, it was a great interview.
He looked like he could have eaten them. Yeah. Yeah, it was a great interview. But anyway, he's a huge man. Greg Olsen has a great matchup. The Green Bay Packers give up the 10th most points to opposing tight ends. He doesn't even need a good matchup. He's a great guy. Green Bay, though, is a tough defense. They give up the 8th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, the 9th fewest to wide receivers. Again, Tidgin Jr., oh my gosh. He only caught 2 of his 10 targets. I know the weather was bad, but he has been doing that all year. He's got a drop problem. But listen, if you need a wide receiver one, I guess he is there. And then Corey Brown, he's only getting like a couple catches a game, but he did score a touchdown last week. Ish, I can't. But Jonathan Stewart will be fine to play. If you need him, play him. You know, it's not a great, you know, matchup. But he's had double-digit scores ever since their bye week. I think they're really kind of, you know, leaning on him now. So that's good.
Love it. Washington Redskins 3-4 at the New England Patriots 7-0.
So there are really only two people that you can play from this team right now, and that is Pierre Garçon and Jamison Crowder. Now, with that said, DeSean Jackson's hamstring did participate in practice on Monday, and Jackson said everything looks good and that he should be able to play this week. Jackson has not played since week one, and a hamstring injury can be, and might I add, has been especially devastating to a player like DeSean Jackson, right? Because he's a guy that depends on his speed and is a deep ball threat kind of guy. So if that hamstring is tight and it's not fully healed and he can't be explosive, he's a completely different player. He is a different guy than the guy you drafted. With that said, you probably are going to still play him if he does play, especially because you've got some people out on byes as well, because there's a lot of teams on bye this week. So he's someone else you can consider. Crowder, he played 82% of the snaps in week 7. They were on bye last week. And so he's becoming a main guy. I don't see him going away anywhere. When DeSean comes back, obviously he's going to lose some of those targets, but he's still going to be a guy that you're going to be able to play. And in case you feel like putting a little salt in an open wound, go ahead and play Alfred Morris or Matt Jones this week, who continue to split carries and your soul. So it burns, and not in a good way. Morris is considered the lead back, but he's averaging a career low 3.32 yards per carry. And Chris Thompson, it was a full participant in practice. He was out with a back injury. So in case you want to put a little second round of salt in that cut, feel free to give him a shot too. That's my way of saying you are crazy if you play one of the running backs.
And a suggestion for you, also, with this tough bye week, people might have had to drop DeSean Jackson because they have to pick up people that are actually viable this week.
Right.
So if you're not having woes and you have a spot on your bench, you can go pick up DeSean Jackson and wait another week or two until he gets adjusted into the offense and insert him into your lineup. Just saying.
DeSean Jackson, when healthy, is a quarterback-proof player.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball, he will score you points. The question is he healthy enough to be DeSean Jackson?
Right now, maybe not, but maybe not. You can wait 2 more weeks to put him in your lineup. It's worth a spot on your bench if he's dropped this week because of byes.
He is a player that had to get dropped for people because they had to fill in, and he's still out all season. So it's kind of like, can they continue to hold on to this guy?
Yep. Patriots.
Oh, man, you guys. Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston both scored over 20 fantasy points against Washington. Tom Brady will be fine. Mike Evans scored 22.4 points against Washington. Julian Edelman will be fine. In fact, they give up the 7th most points to opposing wide receivers. So Brandon LaFell, who for some reason can't catch the ball anymore, very weird. He only caught 2 of 8 in his first matchup and then 4 of 7 in his second, 50 yards or less. But you know the Patriots, they're trolling us.
Yeah.
They're always trolling us. So it could be Brandon LaFell this week. Or Amendola, who had 2 back-to-back double-digit games and then caught his only target he caught last week, and it was for 11 yards. So, trolling again. Supposedly, this is a tough matchup for Gronk. Haha. 7 touchdowns on the season. And supposedly, Washington gives up the 12th fewest points to running backs. So, I guess, you know, I would say I don't care about that because you know what? Devontae Freeman and Chris Ivory both scored over 25 fantasy points. And Doug Martin scored over 17. So I think Deion Lewis, this is going to be a bounce back for him. He's still recovering from that abdomen, but he is looking healthier. Oh, and definitely start New England's defense. Because you know what? Kirk always turns back into Kirk. I think this could be the game.
New England's Kirk. Kirk. Tennessee Titans, 1-6. The New Orleans Saints, 4-4. All right, you guys. Here's the deal. This is a fabulous matchup. We are in bye week hell. This might be the team we're going to reach for. And I say that cautiously. Only you know how desperate you are. You know how deep you need to go. Okay. So the Tennessee Titans face the New Orleans Saints, and they almost give up the most fantasy points to every single position. So it's crazy. Marcus Mariota is back to practice and is on track of starting this week. The Saints give up the absolute most fantasy points to quarterbacks. He's only owned in 34% of your leagues, you guys. These are all options. If you're in deep leagues, they're still available. Go get them. Play them. You have Carson Palmer. Bummer. Bye. Insert Marcus Mariota. Only you know how desperate you are. Only you know how desperate you are. Antonio Andrews. He is the new workhorse, as the coach said this week, of the Tennessee Titans. He hasn't put up huge points yet this year, but this could be the week. Even if he doesn't put up huge points, he should be able to get you at least 8 fantasy points. The Saints give up the 10th most fantasy points to running backs. He's only owned in 35% of leagues. So again, if 8 points is enough for your running back to your flex position for this tough week, Andrews, that's his name. As for wide receivers, Kendall Wright is most likely out this week. There are a few options to roll with if you're in really desperate need of wide receivers. Harry Douglas is listed as probable, I believe. So he's only owned in 1% of leagues, you guys, and he's leading in the targets as of right now in this kind of mix of weird wide receivers land. Darrell Green Beckham is owned in the most amount of leagues, which is 12%. But the coach says he's going to have a bigger role in this offense this week against, again, the New Orleans Saints that are awful. And there is Justin Hunter, who's nobody owns, so feel free. Know how desperate you are. This is the matchup. There are people that are owned in other teams, but they're going up against tough people. This, on the other hand, is not that way. The Saints give up the 6th most fantasy points to wide receivers. So, they have given up 6 to 15 points to wide receivers that nobody owns. Just saying.
Wow.
Only you know how desperate you are. And, of course, you're going to start Delanie Walker for sure.
Start every week.
Of course. That's for sure. That's no questions. You can't pick him up. He's owned. Sorry. I would say don't start their defense against Drew Brees, who had a freak show outing last week. I'm sure Ashley will talk about it now.
Now, are you nervous? Ken Whisenhunt got fired. Are we nervous about that at all?
No.
I agree.
I was gonna say, I'm also
what happened nervous. With the Dolphins?
That's true.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Sometimes you just
I didn't think it was going to happen with the Dolphins either. When the coach got fired, I thought, well, they're going to need to do a lot more than that to get this team turned around. And sure enough, everybody got double digits. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Tennessee, but when you have 6 teams on bye and all the injuries that happened last week, this could be it. This could be your moment.
Well, I could tell you one thing, though. Their owner is a woman right now. So she actually lives in Texas. So they were at the game. Her name is Amy Adams Strunk. She's the late Bud Adams' daughter. And it came directly from her. She was like, we're done. And this guy is not right for Marcus Mariota. She made like a distinct choice that this is Marcus Mariota's team and that this is going the wrong direction. He's only won 3 games the whole time he's been there.
Well, and Marcus Mariota was, you know, has been hurt. So it wasn't necessarily his fault. But the interim coach is coming out and saying, Darrell Greenbackham's going to get more time. Antonio Andrews is going to be the workhorse for Tennessee. And when the Miami coach came out and said all this stuff about Miami, sure enough, it happened, and they won. Right, and they played amazingly. And sometimes it's not the coach that they're not playing for, but it's that, like, man, jobs can be lost kind of thing.
That spark, yeah.
That spark of, like, my job's not secure either, that makes everybody on Tennessee other than Walker and Mariota can be replaced, right?
I'll say, yeah. So, Mariota's, like, the first, like, franchise player they've had in a while. Yeah,
absolutely. So I'm just saying this might be, like, the weird fantasy deluxe. It might be awful. But if you need to take a rest on somebody, I would go to Tennessee.
All right. Yeah.
I own Antonio Andrews. I want you to be right.
Yeah. she's banking on it.
Workhorse.
I want everything that you said to happen.
We could see 22 touches this week. You never know. That'd be good. He said he's a workhorse. Look at Lamar Miller. I'm saying Lamar Miller was like, didn't exist until they got their interim coach. And then all of a sudden he got, you know, double digits and became relevant and saw all these touches and got, you know, the ball thrown to him. So it's possible.
Their defense is good, but the
Saints are good. They're at home. I'm not.
No, I agree. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, out of the team isn't a lost cause, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Their defense is actually better than.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. I like that.
But I agree. I wouldn't play him against Breeze after last week.
No.
Because that was a heck of a game from Drew Breeze. Talk about a fantasy orgy last week between him and Eli Manning. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. The amount
of, I think people, like half of people's fantasy team's points came from that game.
Oh, yeah.
I literally would not be surprised if half the points on your team came from that game.
I had a guy in my league who scored a total of 76 points, and he had Drew Brees.
Yeah. I played against Brandon, and think amazing. he had 52 points against me, Drew Brees, on Brandon's team.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no business winning that.
You had no business, but you did win because you had Drew Brees. And it was.
I thought I was going to die. I get the results that I won. And I was like, what? I forgot I had Drew Brees.
Amazing.
I know. I was reading it off and complaining. I was like, Tim, this player's got 3 points, 1 point, 3 points, 4 points, and I'm losing all because of Drew Brees.
I started Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick. Yeah. I literally have no running back.
Yeah. And I still lost. Thank you, Drew Brees. Thank you.
It's amazing.
Well, he passed for a career high, 511 yards, and seven, count them up, seven touchdowns against the Giants. The seven touchdown tosses in a game tied the all-time single-game NFL record. So congrats, Breezy. Congrats on that. So I'm watching TV, and my fiancé, Tim's like, you feel like a really bad person now, don't you? Because Kyrie Robinson went down. Suffered a pretty serious leg injury, and I didn't think it was serious at first. And I was just like, yes, now Mark Ingram can score some touchdowns. And then I realized it was actually really bad. He has a broken leg, and he had surgery.
Oh, that was sad.
And he's going to miss the remainder of the season. He was down. So get him out of your lineups. He was one of those guys that you could plug in a flex role that had really high potential because he is the guy that was vulturing some touchdowns. So make sure you get him out because he's out for the remainder of the season. So what does that mean? This could potentially mean C.J. Spiller could receive a bigger role in the offense. Here's hoping that they do not do that because Spiller rushed 4 times for just 21 yards last week and had a touchdown because that's what they do. They just give it to him. Whereas Mark Ingram ran 16 times for 80 yards and added their 4 receptions for 39. So let's give it to Ingram. Not Spiller. Please, please, and thank you. But, guys, it is time to talk serious about Benjamin Watson now. He had a team-high 9 catches with 147 yards and a touchdown against the Giants. And he was targeted 10 times. That's a lot of targets for a tight end. And he's kind of a guy that Bruce is comfortable with. So I see this continuing. This is now 2 massive games out of the last 3, and I think we're going to see this continue through on. So Benjamin Watson is something that you should consider. Marquise Colston had 8 receptions for 114 yards and a touchdown. Again, I will say buyer beware when it comes to any New Orleans wide receiver in terms of it does tend to flip back and forth through who it's going to be. But, you know, Willie Snead, he had a good game, too, for 76 yards. And Brandon Cooks finally put up a decent game with 88 yards.
Granted, after my Halloween costume.
Right. Now, granted, when you've got 511 yards to go around and 7 touchdowns, if if they hadn't done well, then we've got a real problem on our hands. Yeah. Like, a real problem. But here's the thing. All of them could be spotty, especially Cooks. He could be spotty the rest of the season. So I would really wait. Keep him on your team, but I would wait on starting him because you've got a high potential that he's going to goose egg or get you, like, 3 points this week. Because that is they're Saints. This is what happens. This is what they do. So wait for me, in my opinion, wait until you see some consistent production out of him before you're willing to put him in your lineup.
Miami Dolphins 3-4 at the Buffalo Bills 3-4. All right, Dolphins. Last week was tough for the most of the Dolphins. Yeah. Ouchie, ouchie. Especially after coming off a good game. But Tannehill threw the ball 44 times for 300 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. But the 44 times is good. That's good. I'm happy he's throwing the ball a lot. He's getting the yards. That's good. We're seeing a little bit of progress. It was kind of tough to watch. That's the truth story.
Horrendous.
Yeah. This should be better week for him. I wouldn't expect him to, like, win your matchup, but he's not going to lose it either, I don't believe. Last time he played Buffalo in week 3, Tannehill had over 15 fantasy points. So that's where we might be laying this week. If that's good enough for you, then go ahead and play him. If it's not good enough for you, then don't play him. Just saying. Luckily, there is only 2 fantasy quarterbacks on bye, so you shouldn't have to play them unless you're Palmer or who's the other one?
Stafford.
That's it. You're good. You can start.
Joe Flacco's had 4 20-plus point games.
It's true. No one's playing him. Not anymore with Steve Smith gone. It's a thing. You can start Jarvis Landry as your wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, and Richard Matthews can also be in your lineup. Last time he played against the Bills, Matthews had 23 fantasy points. Yes, please. So this offense is starting to gel. They are starting to work. Lamar Miller came back to earth last week, and although this isn't the best matchup, I still think he's the perfect running back 2 for you. And there are 18 tight ends that have more fantasy points than Jordan Cameron that are not on bye this week. So
thank you for pointing that out.
So look elsewhere. Okay? You might be desperate enough to play Tennessee players, but you're not desperate enough to play Jordan Cameron. Okay?
Thank you.
Bills.
Bills. So the Dolphins are pretty average defense. In every category. Other than they go the 12th most points to quarterbacks, which is still kind of average, and the 9th most points to running backs. So there's been some different reports going on. So there was one report that Tyrod Taylor was still wearing a brace on his knee during practice Monday, but then on Wednesday we hear that Tyrod Taylor's knee is as healthy as he's been all season and has no added risk for re-injuring it if he were to play this week in week 9. So that's kind of interesting that all of a sudden he's in a brace, then all of a sudden he's never been better. But
maybe he's doing it for the
fine.
Look.
Wear a brace, so
maybe.
Yeah, I don't care.
You know, maybe it makes you feel good.
Maybe also, that's true.
So what? You hurt your knee. Wear a brace. Makes you feel better. Go for
it. It's all in his head.
I just don't know if you've never been healthier, but we'll see. Rex Ryan expects Taylor to start this week after he's missed 2 games. With that left knee sprain. The good news was just a sprain, but he's a full participant in practice Wednesday. So green light go on Tyrod Taylor. Again, they have the 12th most points, so he should have a decent week against the Dolphins. Sammy Watkins was working on the side on Monday, and head coach, Sexy Rexy, a favorite, basically expects Watkins to be limited in practice. Up till basically game day, but watch for him because when he is in, it's a different ballpark. That is a very different offense when Sammy Watkins is playing. Whether he actually gets targeted or not, it's a better situation for Tyrod Taylor. It's a better situation for LeSean McCoy. It's a better situation for everybody when Sammy Watkins is on the field. So we're hoping for Sammy to play. Carlos Woods' concussion was a full participant in practice Wednesday as well. So again, all good things pointing to Buffalo Bills starting to kind of rehab that surgence of offense. I like them all. I like the running backs this weekend. I like Tyrod Taylor. You're not playing any of the wide receivers. Percy Harvin still isn't playing. So that's the Bills.
Also, I think LeSean McCoy is one of the top 10 running backs going forward, easy.
I would agree. And I don't hate Carlos Williams either. I do think Carlos Williams is going to get some play as well now that he's back. So I think you got flex potential there.
This could be a fantasy orgy. Could be. It could also be a very low-scoring game.
Yeah, these teams are so hit and miss.
So
yeah.
Hit and miss. There is no consistency here. It'll be very just
Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, just Jarvis Landry. Landry! I love you.
Love you.
All right. St. Louis Rams 4-3 at the Minnesota Vikings 5-2.
I love this team because I only have to talk about one person.
Yeah.
So it's so short.
Two people.
Short and sweet. I talk about two people.
My favorite guy.
Yes. So Todd Gurley, you're still playing him. He's like the best in the league right now. Love me some Todd Gurley. 20 carries for 133 yards and a touchdown, plus 3 catches for 13 yards. Granted, it was against the 49ers, but you know what? He's done this week in and week out since he's been playing. So, yeah, you're doing it. Todd Gurley has had 125-plus yard, 4-game streak going at the moment. That right there is a must play, if I've ever heard it. Must
the definition
play. Now, granted, the Vikings get the 5th fewest points to running backs, but I still think Todd Gurley's going to tear it up. I think he's fine. Play him with ease. Now, Tavon Austin is the only player.
Gronk's in a tough matchup, too. Yeah.
Some people, the matchups aren't as concerning for you. I feel like Todd Gurley is one of these guys. Despite being a rookie, I think he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Tavon Austin, I'm not as sure about. Now, they give up the Vikings of the 8th fewest points to wide receivers, but he seems to just kind of be sneaky. He had 4 catches for 98 yards and a touchdown. 3 carries for 21 yards and a touchdown. He's using reverse packages a lot. He's used on the special team. So he's got a lot of kind of extra oomph, extra opportunities for points for you. So that's what makes Tavon Austin an interesting play here. And he now has a career-high 7 touchdowns for the year. So this has been his best year yet. And this is kind of a fun little package that got going between Tavon Austin and Gurley. They're able to play off it. So, I think he's worth a flex look. I don't love him in a wide receiver role, but I think he's got a high ceiling.
It's week 9. We got 6 teams on bye. That mother is your wide receiver 2 this week, my friends.
Ooh.
Sign him up.
I don't love it.
You are desperate. You might be desperate.
You might be.
People are dying on the NFL field this year, and everybody is on bye. Tavon Austin is your man. I'm telling them to start Tennessee Titans. You're not even going to tell them to start the Tavon Austin, who has 7 touchdowns on the year? Come on.
Tavon Austin is so spotty. That's the thing. He's so spotty.
Crazy.
Historically.
Yeah.
I grant this is a better year, but every other year, if we look historically, and I know that threw that out of the water when it came to Andy Dalton and primetime, which perhaps shame on me, and we'll find out very soon.
Yeah, right?
But Tavon Austin is the same guy. Historically, year in, year out, he's got like a 20-point game, and then he like 0 goose eggs to 3 points for like the next 6 weeks, and then he has another 20-point game, and then it's crap after that. So I mean, it's
he just, does help that Gurley is there, and he is.
It does help that Gurley is there. I do agree with you there because they haven't had they haven't had a solid rushing attack in years either. So that's made that difficult for the receivers. So I do feel better about Tavon Austin.
Okay,
better, not great.
Minnesota Vikings. First of all, this is a tough matchup for everyone, but you play your studs. I know it's the Rams. It's tough. But you're starting AP. He hasn't had big numbers lately, but he is getting the touches. If you look at the top 15 running backs for last week, there's only 2 guys that were drafted in week 1 and or in round 1 and most in rounds 2s as well. A CJ Anderson, surprise, surprise, that's crazy talk that he was up on that list for the first time ever. And AP. So, you know, this is just the reality of it, you guys. Running backs are struggling this year. If your running back gets 10 points, be okay with it. He is still the 6th running back in fantasy points, so stop complaining. Stephon Diggs is listed as questionable and hasn't practiced yet, but the coaches don't seem to be concerned. He has been in double digits the last 3 weeks and saw 12 targets last week. He is the clear wide receiver 1 in Minnesota. Him and Bridgewater just are, like, loving on each other on the field. It's, like, magic. I love it. This will be a tough game, so temper your expectations. But you're going to start Diggs. You can't not start him with those targets. And, well, Kyle Rudolph did not get a touchdown, and so he got you 2 points like I told you he would.
Oh.
Boo. Boo. Kickers matter, people. Kickers matter. Blair Walsh is only owned in less than 50% of leagues. He has been in double digits in the last 3 weeks, you people. Pick him up and play him. Pick him up. Stop it. Who do you own? Think about it. Who do you own? 3 points good enough for you? Is it? Stupid.
They own Ryan Mallett, Courtney. They can't drop
him. They own Ryan Mallett.
They can't drop him.
That's true, Ashley. Yep, yep. They probably still own Cordarrelle Patterson, too.
They probably do own him.
Yeah, they probably still own him, too. And the Vikings defense has had 8 fantasy points the last 3 weeks. You can't ask for more consistency than that. The Rams give up the 8th most fantasy points to defenses. So if you need to stream a defense, Minnesota is available. They're not a bad choice. Jacksonville.
I was going to say, though, because I'm by, I'm in a ton of leagues where someone picked up Rashad Perriman. And it just made me think of this podcast and what we were just laughing about.
Oh, my God. It's
like you have Cordarrelle Patterson, you have Rashad Perriman. You got a whole roster of potential up there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I will say, look at targets, matchups, and where they're getting targets. If it's in the end zone, pick them up. So what, they're only targeted twice a game? It's always in the end zone. The 7 fantasy points. Just stop it and put it in your lineup. Anyway,
I agree with you. Some people think the touchdowns are fluky. I think some people are just meant to be touchdown targets.
James Jones is touchdowns.
James Jones. James Jones is a perfect example of that. He is a end zone target.
Yes. He's not touchdown dependent because he doesn't have to depend on it because he always just gets it. It just is what
it is.
Every
game.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
But he doesn't get the yards. So that makes him touchdown dependent, but you don't have to be nervous.
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, you don't have to. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't. Yeah, you don't have to freak out because
not on my game.
Yeah, targeted in the end zone. Jacksonville Jaguars 2-5 at the New York Jets 4-3.
Jets D is tough and legit, guys.
Oof.
Jets give up. Well, last week I know was a little bit interesting, but.
Blew it.
They did blow it. But overall, even with that week factored in, they give the 10th fewest points to quarterbacks, the 2nd fewest points to running backs, the 14th fewest to wide receivers, 9th fewest to tight ends, 7th fewest to kickers, and 12th fewest to defenses. With that said, you got the obvious starts. Those are Allen Hurns, if he plays, and Allen Robinson. You play them. You do it. TJ Yeldon, the good news is that they said that he's going to start receiving goal line carries moving forward. Why he has not been, I don't know, but let's get him the ball on the goal line, please. Let's do that. So he's going to be, that factors into more points for you, right? Because that's the problem, is he hasn't really been getting, seeing the touchdowns that we wanted to see as much, at least on the goal lines. So this is good news for you there. Julius Thomas, he practiced in full Wednesday with his hurt abdomen, but this is not a great matchup for him. And Julius Thomas is not one of those tight ends that, like a Greg Olsen or a Gronk, where the matchup doesn't matter. It matters for Julius Thomas, in my opinion. You guys may disagree, but Julius Thomas is not.
Especially coming off of injuries and
off an injury, playing, off a rough week, off a tough Jets D. I don't like it at all.
Yeah,
don't
it's
like
difference
it.
If he's like really put himself into this offense consistently, and just he hasn't had that ability, you know, that opportunity yet. So.
Right. I will say, I think that Allen Robinson's going to be on Revis Island, and Antonio Cromartie blew it last week. He is not the same guy.
No.
So I think Allen Hurns and possibly Julius Thomas will benefit from that. Darrell Revis is still a baller.
He is. He did shut Cooper down last week. So
Antonio Cromartie actually said he played like, wah.
I won't disagree with him. But
no, me neither.
I do think out of the two there, Allen Hurns will be the beneficiary. More so than Julius Thomas. I do think Julius Thomas will get something, but I think there's better matchups out there for you. And I hate Julius Thomas coming off an injury. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Agree.
But place kickers, again, like Courtney said, kickers do matter. Jason Myers has missed his 3rd extra point of the season. So the ownership is looking at getting him out. They had Zach Cooker and Randy Bullock work out for Jacksonville. So keep this in mind. Make sure that your kicker is actually playing on a team.
Pick up Blair Walsh. Pick up Not Blair that difficult.
Do it.
Waivers are over. Pick him up.
But this will be an interesting game because the Jets are a little banged up as well from last week's game there. Courtney's like adamantly, you pick him up. Now, Fitzy, I was very devastated that Fitzy got hurt because I was predicting a big game for him. And then he went down with his...
we all did. And so Gino had a big game. I was like, do you know how many points Fitzgerald could have had if he...
Could have had a huge Gino.
Gino in my two quarterback league, and my other quarterback was on a bye, so I only had one quarterback in, and Gino blew up on my
bench.
He
blew up.
I thought about just putting him in just in case, but now he's injured too, right? Now he's off. He's dead too.
So Ryan Fitzpatrick, he suffered an injury during to his left hand during the first quarter. So he went out. That's what we're talking about in terms of my rage face.
Third play, you mean.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. Geno Smith has replaced Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, Ryan's thumb will need surgery at some point because he did tear a ligament in his thumb, which is not good. Geno Smith, although he was playing quite recklessly, I would say, for a backup quarterback, knowing that you don't have another option to go in.
Yes.
There is different roles. When you are a backup quarterback, you need to also stay healthy. You know, like, this is the stuff they were talking about with Geno Smith, that he's not fully grasping some things in the NFL here. But I won't go on a tirade here. Anyway, he suffered an abdomen and a shoulder injury as well against the Raiders that week. So... But with that all said, Ryan Fitzpatrick's thumb and Geno Smith's shoulder both took part in drills on Wednesday. So that is good news. Fitzpatrick was wearing a protective glove on his left hand. His throws look fine, and it hasn't really affected his throwing, which is good. But the problem is ball security, right? Because that's the issue, and you could definitely see it when he did have to come in when Geno got hurt for a second because he went off just like, oh, man. So really the issue will be playing under center and then in terms of actually passing the ball off to a running back. But with that said, he is supposed to play this week. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy. Now, we've got a little bit of a situation with our wide receivers, like Courtney had kind of alluded to earlier on. Eric Decker's knee said he's getting better, but his injured knee is still bothering him. Eric Decker has been expected to be limited in practice all week. He has already been limited. Even on Friday, he'll be a limited participant. But barring any major issues, he's supposed to play. So, but I don't love the fact that he's hurt enough that they're not really
the Jets died.
Brandon Marshall died.
Yeah, it was like a bomb exploded right on their team, and just like everybody is questionable.
Right. Yeah. Brandon Marshall, same thing. Ankle and a toe. He allegedly, initially, they said that he may miss the game this week, even though he hasn't practiced a whole lot. And they did say that even if he doesn't practice, that doesn't mean he's going to be out. And as of Wednesday, they said that they expect him to play. But I do think he's a game-time decision. I do. Brandon Marshall tends to play through injuries. I will say that about Brandon Marshall. So he probably will play, but at this point you've got a banged-up Eric Decker, a banged-up Brandon Marshall, and a quarterback who's got a torn ligament in his thumb. It's not a throwing arm, but again, we're looking at potential turnover central here. The good news, though, is that Chris Ivory's hamstring and Stephen Ridley's knee both were full participants in practice. So... they're probably going to run. But then again, we're looking at the fact that it's a hard time for Fitzpatrick to even get the ball to Chris Ivory. So this game could be a nightmare.
Could be bad. Oakland Raiders 4-3. The Pittsburgh Steelers 4-4.
I love Derek Carr. I say it every week. And I will say it again. He went 23 for 36 for 333 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Jets. Like we said, the Jets was like, they did explode. And everybody died. But still. Derek Carr had a great game. Latavius Murray had 20 carries for 113 yards. We just got to get that boy some more touchdowns. That would be nice. Not a great matchup to give the third fewest points to running backs, but, you know, he'll probably get you around 70 yards. So he's a good flex option, I would say. Cooper, you're playing him this week. Despite his low yardage game, it's a better matchup. He was in Revis Island. It was not great. But the good news is that Crabtree, so whenever Cooper goes up against a shutdown corner, Crabtree has a monster game, and he had another great game last week. So, again, because Cooper was on Revis Island, Crabtree went off. And I'm intrigued by this, because back when Crabtree was in San Francisco, he was the guy that the shutdown corner would be covering. And now it's Cooper. But Crabtree is too good to virtually be left alone with no extra attention. So... I like him this week. I like him moving forward. He's a great wide receiver two option. And I do think at some point because Crabtree's been doing so well, they're not going to be able to just have shutdown corners just on Cooper. I think they're going to have to, you know, play more of one side of the field or spread it because Crabtree's too good to not have extra attention to.
I agree. And that Reese boy is good too. Right?
Raiders. Love me some Raiders.
Steelers, let's all have a moment of silence for Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, that's a brutal one.
Sad news. Sad news for him and his owners, especially if you did not keep D'Angelo Williams on your bench.
Well, the worst part, too, for me, was that they give you, like, false hope, right? So initially they're like, ooh, good news, guys. It's not the ACL. She'll be out for a couple weeks. And then it's like, boom. Or it's a really badly torn MCL. He's out for the season.
What Antonio Gates had. What Ben Roethlisberger had. But it's really, really, really bad. Cool. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Bell was placed on IR. So after tearing his whole MCL, it was not torn. It was teared, shredded. Not good. Insert D'Angelo Williams here. I checked right before we did right before we did our write-ups. This is Wednesday evening. D'Angelo Williams is only owned in 37% of leagues. Go pick him up.
Go get him.
Pick him up. Pay attention, people. Go get him. When he was the starter, he had 13 and 27 fantasy points. He is a machine. This offense works with their running backs. This is a good line he can get through. Please, go pick him up. I think this is going to be a fantasy orgy on both sides of the ball. Get your paper towels. This is going to get messy. Both defenses are just okay. Yep. And there should be plenty of fantasy points to go around. I believe that Ben has gotten his feet wet. He's back. He's going to have a bounce back week this week.
Great.
I think, you know, he's going to give up. The Raiders give up 300 plus yards to quarterbacks. So I'm in love with him. He threw a lot in the first three games. So it's fine. He'll be fine. Antonio Brown was for sure happy that Big Ben was back. His targets went back up to double digits. You can start him. Even Heath Miller saw the ball a lot. 13 targets, holy bleep. You can start him too. This is a perfect equation for Miller. It's Miller time, you guys. Bell is out. Ben is in. He's injured. He's going to rely on his tight end. I'm all about the Heath Miller. I'm all about it. I'm all about it. And I think Bryant will find the end zone again this week after not finding it last week. So I am starting him as well. I know he's not going to get his targets like he did with the backup quarterbacks. But he's a master. And like he's just a great athlete. Ben's going to get better and feel more, you know, secure in that pocket. So I think Bryant will be back to what you want him to be.
And he's one of those guys we're talking about that's an end zone targeted guy.
He is. Well, he has been. He's only been back for few weeks and he's yet to play with Ben for the 1 week and Ben was injured. So I'm interested to see.
But like last year he was targeted in the end zone.
Constantly.
He's a guy that they look at.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see the dynamic, but I think it'll get better this week. I think Ben was like, Brown, my homeboy, you need your points back. Let's get your points back. I think it was just like, you know, we need to prove a point here. New York Giants 4-4, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 3-4. Well, if you played Eli Manning, you probably think you were the smartest person in the world. Well, I said you should start him, didn't I, last week?
Yeah.
I did say you should start
him.
Were you
expecting 40 points of fantasy?
I was not expecting 350 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Amazing. But that did happen. Tampa Bay gives up the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks. So go ahead, guys. Put him in. What's the worst he can do? 6 points? It's possible. At least he's not his brother. ODB is a must start. He had a crazy game last week with 130 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's always a must start. Stop it. Reuben Randall is not practicing and is having a hard time working around his injury. Dwayne Harris is coming in and making plays. He had 37 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. With Tampa Bay giving up the 5th most fantasy points to wide receivers. Again, 6 teams on bye. Pick him up. He's only owned in 9% of leagues, you guys. And he is part of this offense.
That's
like,
crazy low.
That's
crazy low. Reuben Randall
out. Yeah, crazy low. So, with Reuben Randall injured, it's just, come on. Larry Donnell is listed as questionable, and we know Coughlin hates to talk about injuries, so I would find a replacement for him this week if you're relying on him. Rashad Jennings and Shane Vereen are the perfect flex. Hopefully you do not need them to be any more than that, because God knows what they will produce each week. One week it's really good, one week it's really bad. It's not my favorite duo in the backfield. And I like the Giants as a streaming defense this week. They still scored 6 fantasy points last week against the Saints that scored 52 points. So, hello.
Wow. Such a crazy game.
That's such a... They got 6 fantasy points off of 52. That blows my mind. But they have 8 interceptions in the last 3 weeks. Winston has not thrown for an interception in the last 3 weeks. But I see that changing this week. I think the Giants are going to get an interception. I think they're going to get pressure on him. I'm all about it. Insert Giants defense for streaming.
Well, the Giants have given up the 5th most points to opposing quarterbacks, but more specifically, 7 touchdowns to Drew Brees. So you got to think they're going to give up 2 or 3 to Jameis Winston.
One would hope. Or we got a problem, Tampa.
Yeah, we got a problem. Oddly enough, Jameis Winston's never scored less than 12 fantasy points in a game. And since his bye in week 6, he scored 20 and 19 fantasy points. No interceptions. It's interesting. He could crumble at any time. He is a rookie, but this is a good matchup. It's also a good matchup for Mike Evans. Now, I told you that he would suck last week, and he sucked. You guys, don't listen to the bad narratives. Now, this week, he may be better. Why? Because Austin Seferian Jenkins supposedly really is actually, that's right, I'm using all those words together, going to play this week. I listened to actually the fantasy podcast on ESPN, and Stefania Bell, specifically to the Stefania Bell, did a great job on Tuesdays on that podcast talking about injuries. And she kind of went out of her way to talk about Austin Seferian Jenkins coming back this week and how she really thinks that he's on pace. If they can have another person to throw to, it's much better for Mike Evans, you guys. Just much better. But it ends up, the Giants' secondary is just bad. But he is matchup only, so trade him. I have told you, after a good game, you trade Mike Evans because he's going to drive you crazy all year. Up and down, because he either has 2 baller games or 4 points or less.
Not worth the headache.
JPP is coming back to the Giants defense. That doesn't scare me about playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dantia Dye caught 1 pass. That was his 1 target. And Charles Sims kind of sort of fallen off a little bit. He's kind of fallen off the earth since the bye. He was getting double digits before the bye, and now it's like 4 points. Martin didn't have a big scoring week against Atlanta, but he did carry the ball 23 times for 71 yards. So you can't argue with that. He is getting the usage.
Love it. We have the Atlanta Falcons 6-2 at the San Francisco 49ers 2-6. Let's start off with this. 49ers give up the 3rd most fantasy points to running backs, the 11th most to quarterbacks, the 4th most wide receivers, and the 16th most to tight ends. So you are going to start Julio Jones, of course. He had 162 yards and a touchdown last week. That's a no-brainer, right? Let's move on. You can start Devontae Freeman. He has only had 13 fantasy points in the last 2 games, but let's say it again. It's unrealistic in 2015 to think your running back is going to get 30 fantasy points every week. So we're going to start him. Yep. Okay? And nobody has a better matchup. If you have a better running back with a better matchup than this game, feel free to play them. But you don't.
Yep.
So don't put... You're delusional. Yeah, you're delusional. You're going crazy. Do not start Antonio Andrews over Devontae Freeman. That was not where my point was earlier in the show. Matt Ryan had a good game last week, and I would play him again this week, especially if Leonard Hankerson is back.
He's been a little painful to watch this year. He's,
Matt Ryan is very hot and cold. He's very hot and cold. Absolutely. It has not been pretty. But it's a good matchup.
It's the week.
So it might be the week again to play him. As for Hankerson, he isn't practicing and has been out for 2 weeks. So if he does play, I think he will be fabulous for the rest of the offense as like more of a decoy. He's not my favorite play. But only you know how desperate you are. And as for the tight end situation, how about that, Jacob? Tammy.
Yeah.
I picked him up that day.
You can do your fantasy team and watch your kids.
Yes. 103 yards and a touchdown last week. If Hankerson is out, then Tammy might be your guy, you guys. That may say this again, only you know how desperate you are, but he averages around 3 fantasy points. So he had a huge game last week, but he may not this week, but he may also. You just don't know. Jacob Tanny's just like, wherever, if you're really desperate and there's nobody, that's your guy. Also, you can stream Atlanta's defense with Gabbard in. It's a thing.
I do think they've been trending more towards Tammy in the last few games, though. They're trending.
They have. They've
direction.
Been targeting him. It's whether he can get the catches and whether he gets more than 3 yards. That's the issue, right? That's kind of where we're lying with Tammy. But they are. They do target him. They totally do. Yeah. Maybe that's Matt Ryan's problem. I don't know. But yeah, so I'm going to play Atlanta's defense this week as well. 49ers.
So I do FanDuel videos for NBC, and I went out on a limb, and I was like, you know, I'm considering playing Tevin Coleman because he's so cheap, and I think that that might be a blowout, and he might get some second-half usage since they've been using Devontae Freeman so much. Do you think that's a possibility, or am I totally crazy?
He hasn't been seen a lot.
No, but they've been in close games.
I'm interested to see, again, with, like, huge switch-ups on offenses, it's sometimes just as bad, Matt Castle, or it really does change the dynamic. Losing Vernon Davis, having a new quarterback, I think it's a hot mess. But you're right, maybe Tevin Coleman is a sneaky play. Sneaky play in deep leagues. I agree, Brandon, that is a possibility.
It's only a blowout situation of insanity. He's not ever taking Devontae Freeman. But
Right. And in deep leagues, you most likely don't have both of them in really deep leagues because you drafted Tevin Coleman and you're keeping on to him in hopes that Freeman goes down.
But there is a good chance that Devontae Freeman goes off for like a bit, he breaks off for a big run and gets stopped at like the 10-yard line, and they put Tevin Coleman in for the change of pace to give Devontae Freeman catch his breath, and then he's good enough to score a touchdown off of that.
Well, they maybe haven't done that. I doubt much. It. Yeah, they don't do that.
They haven't done
they
much,
really
but
do
I'm just
that
saying.
For Atlanta.
But I'm just saying it's a possibility.
He's gotten 21 or more touches in every game that he started, and my point is, I just think they need to save him for the season. So if they get up big.
Yeah. What they're going to do with Ashley is they're going to throw Lamar Miller to Jacob Tammy. So.
They might. I think Tammy's got a shot for a good game. I'm just saying, I think Tevin Coleman will come and change the pace, and the Niners are terrible enough that he could do something with it.
Yeah.
Maybe. But speaking of the 49ers, stop. Stop it. Stop. Stop.
The only funny
thing about this is Atlanta's tweet. So one of the beat writers from San Francisco wrote a tweet that was like, actually, they had decided they wanted to go with Blaine Gabbert over Colin Kaepernick last week, but they wanted to wait for the weak Atlanta defense so that Blaine Gabbert could have a better matchup. And the actual official Atlanta Twitter account quoted it and said, oh?
Oh, really?
And challenge reportedly accepted. The Atlanta Falcons are like, oh no. So there's a possibility they don't take the pedal off the or their foot off the gas. They may just want to destroy them. They were not happy with that. They felt very disrespected. Blaine Gabbert, no. Questionable hurt Anquan Boldin, no. Who is Torrey Smith? No one knows. More importantly, Kendall Gaskins, that is supposedly going to be the running back moving forward. I don't know. Carlos Hyde is immensely talented, and he couldn't get anything done. So I know very little about Kendall Gaskins, and nor does anyone else. Also, Pierre Thomas, the guy who first broke my heart in fantasy football when I first started playing, is now a 49er. Meh. So there you go. No one.
Yeah. Not surprising.
There you go. Denver Broncos 7-0, the Indianapolis Colts 3-5. Dick Campbell, the Broncos, the other ones. the big news coming out of Denver is the trade made for Vernon Davis.
Woo!
Yes.
This is a moment. They're going to bring back tight ends to Denver, and they're going to bring back Vernon Davis's career. It's not probably going to happen this week, guys. So
the moment that trade...
Oh, I got so excited. Happen. Put him in. Don't do it.
The moment that trade was made, I was like, wow, they are definitely acquiescing to Peyton Manning right now at the moment. Like, what a difference watching that game last week. I was like, they are running more of a Peyton offense. They did still run, but Peyton, light and day, Peyton. You know, it was just like...
It was a very interesting play calls. I will get into that as well. I don't know who's making the calls, but it's not the same offensive scheme that I've seen the first, you know, 7 weeks of their play. But, you know... As for Davis, anything is better than Owen Daniels, so eventually, you know, it will be good. Although I did hear Vernon Davis has had a hard time picking up the 49ers offense this year. And Denver's deep offense, seeing how it changes between coach and quarterback, might be difficult for him to pick up as well. So, but he's a freak, and he's a monster, and he's a body, and he can catch. Something we don't have.
And
so.
He can block.
Jamil Hill put out a tweet of, yeah, like, this guy doing the happy dance, and it was, like, exclusive footage of Vernon Davis hearing that he's been traded to the Denver Broncos.
Well, it gives him a chance to win, which he didn't have with the Niners. And he can block, which is what our line needs, especially because we've had some offensive linemen go down, so we needed a blocker badly.
They have a picture of, like, him, like, Vernon Davis, like, this, like, huge, happy grin on his face, like, catching a ball on the ground, and it says, when you found out, you've been traded from a 2-6 team to a 7-0 team with a text message. And it's, like, his face just, like, yeah! Yeah!
Did they send him a text message to tell him he was
saying? Oh, I don't know. It was just a meme. I was like, yeah, I would meme hope or not. Whatever. Yeah. I don't know. And I'm sure he's bummed about it because he's a 49er. He's been a 49er for a decade, and that's what he is, you know. I'm sure he's excited to be on a winning team with a quarterback. But, you know, regardless, you guys, I'm not suggesting to play him this week. He has been playing a lot in practice with Peyton and taking extra time with Peyton, but it's going to take him a moment to get adjusted to the offense. So yeah. I would say hold on. Pick him up, you know, because he's available. But just hold off. But anyways, last week was not a complete disaster for the Broncos that I was afraid of. It was going to be, I said, you could start Hillman, and he did very well.
Good.
I'm very excited. He's very good. He did leave with an injury, but he still got so many points. He came back. We're fine. He's fine for this week. Again, you can play him. CJ Anderson had a game too. Crazy. That I'm not sure if it's going to happen again. So Hillman is still the main dude, so yeah. Excited about Anderson, but let's wait.
But it made the Juwan Thompson situation a bit more murky.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
No, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
I was worried about both wide receivers, and Sanders did not disappoint. He got you 2 fantasy points. I'm so sorry. That stinks. But Demaryius Thomas rose from the dead, and that was exciting. It was a Demaryius Thomas show. He didn't even get a touchdown, but he did get 8 receptions for 168 yards. So, that's good. And to be honest, I don't know who is running this offense as we were speaking about earlier. So these fantasy points kind of concern me with the Denver Broncos. I don't know how it's going to be distributed. Peyton Manning's still not throwing well. I mean, he still didn't get fantasy points last week. So it's not like... You know,
I thought he looked good. They had a lot of rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, because he needs them. I mean, he just didn't look fabulous. It's not, I don't know how it's going to be distributed. So for running backs, I actually feel more confident in them now than I did before, which is really sad to say. The whole
That's
offense
so funny. I
is a little Bill Belichick, where it's kind of like running backs are good 1 week, wide receivers are good the next week. You know, it's kind of like it's all over the board. It's hard to predict. But I'm going to go with the running backs being the steady horse again this week. Next week it might be different, but this week is what I'm doing.
I feel like this last week was a compromise of the definite trying out, like you were saying, half Peyton Manning offense, half Kubiak offense. Because the Kubiak side is the running, right? Is the time clock management with the run. But, so I feel like that was kind of compromised, was that Peyton got to do his passing plays, and then they did the run in the end zone, which I think they're probably going to stick with. So I think you're right, fantasy point-wise. I don't know if Peyton Manning is, like, a top option right now, but I felt like he at least looked good where you could, you know, consistently think Demaryius Thomas is going to score you some points now.
Oh, yeah, I didn't say that. Peyton Manning is not a fantasy option
right yeah. now. Yeah.
So he's not, you guys. He just clearly is not. So, yeah, that's a thing. Don't do that. But let's go on to Andrew Luck because, you know, he's the thing.
He is the thing. He's a thing of one half. That's what he is. Indianapolis Colts offensive coordinator Pep Hamilton was fired on Tuesday. So with that move, the Colts now associate head coach Rob, I can never say his name, Chudzinski. Yeah. He's taken over as the offensive coordinator duties. I don't love this. I've never been a huge fan of the Rob.
I agree. People love him, though.
I don't understand. You know, So I don't know.
Well, we all know my Kyle Shanahan feeling.
Right. So I don't know if
this I was really good when you talked about
actually is a good thing. And what was interesting is that Chuck Pagano had made some tweets saying, like, we were all on the same page about getting rid of Hamilton. And I almost feel like Pagano was shifting some blame on Hamilton, like, to deflect from him. It was a decoy, you know? Like, I feel like he kind of, like, fell on the sword. And I don't know about Rob. With that said, Andrew Luck, as I said, is a tale of two halves, which doesn't matter to you as points or points, but boy, does he make it hard for you to watch if you are a fantasy owner. Andrew Luck had a career low for passing yardage in the first half. It was painful against the Panthers. But he bounced back to end up with 231 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and 35 rushing yards in a very stressful overtime loss. I had the Panthers, so I was like rooting for the overtime because I needed 2 more sacks to win, and it didn't happen. I was so angry. I was like, come on, you sacked him so much the first half. Come on. So you lost me the game, Luck. Thanks. I appreciate that. But let's look at Luck for the season. He has thrown 12 interceptions and fumbled the ball 3 times, one that was actually lost, in the 6 games that he has actually played this season. Luck did go on to say, it's my problem, and it's hurting the team. I've got to fix it, or else it's tough to win. I know that. Yeah. So disappointed in myself.
Now, it's granted, almost like he's dating a Kardashian.
Almost. Now, granted, the weather last week did not help the situation out. Both him and Cam, like, clearly having a hard time throwing the ball. Receivers are having a hard time catching. It was a painful first half there. But Cam still looked better. Superman. Yeah, Cam still looked better than Luck. But then Luck came back. Now, reports have surfaced as late that Luck has been playing with fractured ribs, which is its own fun little controversy as to why it was not reported. Was it reported? Was it reported properly? I mean, it's because we all said something else is up with Luck. We're like, what's going on? And this makes much more sense. So they don't really seem to be forthright with us on this. So we don't really have an explanation for you. Now, the usual dependable T.Y. Hilton. When Luck is playing, he's dependable. He only had 1 reception for 15 yards against the Panthers. He was
Norman.
He was targeted 7 times, which is good. But the bad news is he suffered a foot sprain recently. So he's day-to-day, and he did not practice Wednesday. Now, this was the case where, as we said, that they put Josh Norman on him. And Josh Norman did shift sides this week. Did you notice that, Brandon? He didn't just stick to one side of the field. They put him on T.Y. and 15 yards. Woof. Go Josh Norman. Looking good.
He is so good.
So good. But if T.Y. Hilton is out, this may open up the option a bit for some of the other targets as of late for Luck, which would be Andre Johnson. He had 4 receptions for 81 yards and a touchdown. He was targeted 8 times. I have no good reason to feel good or anything better about him, but I do. I feel like the tide has changed a bit. I feel like him and Luck are actually connecting a bit more now. Like, Luck is actually looking for him, especially in that second and third looks. What do you guys think on that?
Good.
Brandon saw me in the comment. But I don't know. I feel a little better about him.
Yeah.
And then Kobe Fleener, this is another guy we're talking about in terms of end zone. So he's a guy that Luck looks for in the end zone. He likes his big body tight ends when it comes to the end zone. And Kobe Fleener is always the one that he's going to err on the side of versus Dwayne Allen.
When I want to score, I want my big bodies too.
Well, Chudzinski, supposedly he's the tight end whisperer.
Yeah. So
so many double entendres.
Right. Tight end whisperer. We'll see if he can work his magic with a tight end. But
those big bodies.
Big bodies of theirs. But, you know, Fleener had a touchdown. Not great yards, only 43 yards after 7 catches. But you know what? I think he's the kind of guy that you look for when you need that high potential. He's that guy because he does get targeted in the end zone. And Frank Gore ran 22 times for 70 yards, which, again, if someone threw a touchdown his way, can, like, somebody let the guy run in the goal line, please, especially with a turnover-happy Andrew Luck? Why are we not giving the ball to Frank Gore to run in the touchdown? I don't understand it. But if they give that to him, he'd be very satisfied with Frank Gore.
Boom. Sunday night game, guys. Philadelphia Eagles 3-4. The Dallas Cowboys 2-5. You know, we all have that team that we hate to cover. Ashley has the Washington Redskins, although she, like, kind of loves them, too.
Yeah.
Brandon has the Cleveland Browns and Manziel and all that crap. I have the Philadelphia Eagles and Chip Kelly. And I hate this team. Like, I hate everything about this team. If I owned any of them, I would, like, want to rip all my hair out. But I don't, thank God, but I still have to talk about them. It's a hot
mess. Chip Kelly's a genius. You just don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand, and neither does this team, clearly.
Yeah. The team needs to understand. That's where the problem is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one does.
That's a thing. Yeah. That's a thing. Dallas gives up the 6th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. So the highly drafted, most disappointing person, in my opinion, of 2015 is Jordan Matthews. So sorry play for Chip Kelly. It's a thing. He will most likely do nothing again this week, so expect more disappointment. Nelson Aguilar should return this week. But everyone's really pumped about him, guys. But he was awful when he played. Yeah, he was not good. Yeah.
Hype coming from? It makes no sense.
It's because he's healthy, somewhat. He's practicing.
Same
so
place as Doriel Green Beckham's production. Somewhere else.
Doriel Green Beckham is far beyond Nelson Aguilar's production. And that's not saying anything because Doriel Green Beckham is awful as well. But you're still starting him this week, you guys. You're still starting him. Sam Bradford is one of the most inconsistent quarterbacks in the league. He can be good. And he can be really, really bad. That floor is so low. You just can't do it. He has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns this year. Also, the Cowboys give up the 9th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. It's scary, you guys. It's scary. Zach Ertz sees the targets, but he doesn't do anything with them. How frustrating. Nope. And he has yet to find the end zone. Yet to find the end zone. Unlike Kyle Rudolph, who is touchdown dependent. This guy is not even that. He is nothing. You can't depend on him for anything.
It's true.
Anything except to drop the balls or not catch them, you know, whatever. He's awful. So they give up the 12th fewest fantasy points to tight ends. We're not reaching for Ertz this week either. The best matchup is for running backs. Ryan Matthews is listed as questionable with a groin injury that he got in week 7. And he goes good game, bad game, good game, bad game, good game, bad game. And last week was his bye. And the week before that, he had a good game. So this week, I just don't know. Was this bad week last week when he hurt his groin? Or is this going to be his bad week? It's really, it's just up in the air. I can't tell you either way. If you're desperate, play him. If he plays, but, you know. But I guess you're starting DeMarco Murray. It's the only thing that's the most consistent thing in Philadelphia, which is the scariest thing in the whole entire world. Seeing how he only had 7 fantasy points last time he played. But that's it, you guys. You're playing Murray. I'm done.
The Dallas Cowboys straight up released Joseph Randall. He has cleared waivers. No one took him. They caught him over the phone. They were supposedly so concerned about him. Couldn't even go to his house. He lives blocks from the facility.
Wow.
He's only 23 years old. It's kind of sad, actually. He has some personal problems. He might be in a domestic violence situation. It's nuts. I don't know what's going on. Now, the Cowboys haven't lost 6 straight games since Troy Aikman's rookie season in 1989, but it might happen, guys. Eek! Why? Well, where do we begin? In good news, Romo is throwing the ball, so that's lovely, but he can't actually come back until week 11. He's not eligible to return. So the good news is that he's coming back. Bad news is not soon enough. Dez Bryant is back, and the whole Ricardo Lockett, him saying things about his injury was complete garbage. Everyone in Seattle and Dallas has said that was not what happened. He said something to a ref that someone put in a vine, and it wasn't even the right timing. Russell Wilson's come forward. Like, everyone's come forward and said, no, Dez did not do that. So
I do love that both teams have come to support him and be like, that's not how it went down.
Well, and as we know, people can edit things or do whatever and put you in whatever light they want to on the internet. And so, you know, good for him for stepping up and saying that's not how it went down. So, but he didn't do well, but we knew he'd be on a pitch count, all this other stuff. It's fine. It is what it is. They keep using McFadden.
Sure. Yeah.
You can ride that until the wheels come off, but those wheels are going to come off, you guys. He had 31 touches in week 7 and 26 touches in week 8. This guy is so injury prone. All I do is hold my breath when I'm watching. I'm just like,
What's going to happen is he's probably going to be good until week 11 when Romo comes back, and they'll just throw the whole offense again.
It'll be like Le'Veon Bell and Ben Roethlisberger, two ships passing in the night.
Thanks for playing. See you later.
It didn't happen.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah. With that many touches?
Mm. Yeah. The only running back to score a touchdown on Philadelphia was Mike Tolbert, and he did it twice. Why? Because they were defending against Cam Newton. Cam Newton and Matt Cassel have zero things in common. Other than they play quarterback.
Oh, that's barely. So true.
Barely.
Oh, man.
Too funny.
Literally, there's nothing else. It's just their title. So, and surprise, Dallas defense actually has the third fewest fantasy points in the league. They're not good in fantasy. They don't allow a lot of points or yardage. They're not a good fantasy team.
They're tough to play against, but them themselves do not get the sacks and the interceptions, the fantasy points that we need. No touchdown.
They just hold the team. It's very interesting, but I thought I'd just point that out.
Very nice. Monday night game, Chicago Bears 2-5, San Diego Chargers.
Since coming back from injury, Cutler has scored 17 to 19 fantasy points every week. San Diego's defense is a huge liability. Look at how many points their offense scores that they still can't win a game.
It's amazing.
Really
it's
sad.
Insane.
So if you need points, if you have Carson Palmer on bye, go to Jay Cutler.
That's right.
San Diego Monday night. Feel good about it. Plus, play Jeremy Langford. He is the backup to Matt Forte. San Diego gives up the absolute most fantasy points to opposing running backs. And then trade or drop him. Why? Because their schedule moving forward is at St. Louis, then Denver, then at Green Bay. So you won't want to play him again until week 13. And that's probably when Matt Forte will come back. And yes, Matt Forte is out. He will not need surgery on his MCL injury. He is coming back, but we don't know exactly when. He will be out for a couple weeks. We only have vague information about Eddie Royal's injury. He also has a knee thing, but we don't even know if it's MCL or...
I'm a little weird out that it's vague. Like, why is it so vague?
Yeah. Because you're not going to play him.
I know, but it's just bizarre that it's been so vague when it came to Eddie Royal.
Yeah, you can. I would just
probably nothing is pulling up on an X-ray. And so they're having a hard time diagnosing exactly where the injury is, but it's sore. He's probably having a hard time cutting, and therefore
maybe swollen.
Yeah, swollen. Therefore, they're just it's like when you break your nose, you can't go into the doctor's office right away because the swelling is hiding anything that's actually going on in there. You have to wait for the swelling to go down to see what actually is happening. So maybe that's the deal. Maybe there's just no actual evidence of any tearing that they can see at this moment. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I see blood and I start to cry.
Either way, don't roll with him. You should be rolling with Alshon Jeffrey, though. Total
baller.
Martellus Bennett, I'm going to put this out there too. He has not been doing all that great. It's kind of been a weird year, but I think with Matt Forte out, those numbers are going to go up. I think we're back to Cutler, Martellus Bennett time.
It's time. Time for that magic. San Diego Chargers, Phillip Rivers is the man. By the end of the game, he had no one to throw to. I mean, literally nobody to throw to. And yet he got over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. You were starting him again this week. I don't care. If he's throwing to himself, it's bananas. You have to start him. It's crazy. Antonio Gates is practicing, so you can start him again this week, especially since Ladarius Green was injured. Yep. He's listed as questionable. Both will get even more targets since the sad season-long injury happened to Keenan Allen. Sad day. Mm. Some freak injury to his kidneys. you know, I had a buddy in high school who was a really good athlete, and he played football and baseball, and he actually was a skier as well, and he hurt and ruptured one of his kidneys, and he was not allowed to play football ever again. I don't know what's going on with him, with Alan, if he's actually going to have to get one of his kidneys removed or not. I don't know if they've decided on the surgery yet.
He can't play with one kidney.
But you can't live without a kidney. So you have to have a kidney. So if he only has one left, it's going to be very dangerous for him to play in NFL.
Oh, my gosh.
My buddy was still able to play baseball, and he still does play baseball, but he has to wear a huge brace around his chest. Like, it's basically like a bulletproof vest. So if a ball or a bat hits him, there's no chance of that rupturing. I don't know how you can do that in the NFL, running around. Again, I don't know how extent the injury to his kidney is. Hopefully he does not have to get it removed, and he is fine to go. But it is a sad, sad day. So our thoughts are definitely with Keenan Allen. Both Stevie Johnson and Malcolm Floyd are great plays against a weak Chicago secondary. I will say this. Johnson is only owned in 55% of leagues and Floyd in 40%. I'm sure that's much higher than it was last week. But still, go out and get them, you guys. Put them in. This is a dynamic offense. This offense scores points. They might not win games, but they score points. So pick them up and play them. And let me say about the running game. If the Chargers want to win a game, then you need to use Danny Woodhead and not just in the last 4 plays of the game.
Thanks.
This is crazy. When you see he has points, those are the 2 victories that the San Diego Chargers have. Yeah. So give me a break. Melvin Gordon is doing nothing for you. But until San Diego is confident with Woodhead, because the defenses can't protect him, you can't start Woodhead this week. I don't know. It just is too much. It's too much. It's a bad matchup for running backs in general, and just poor Danny Woodhead.
I agree.
He's legit. He's legit.
I'm seeing that he didn't have to have, so I just looked it up because you just made me, like, want to die. But he underwent a non-surgical procedure. It's a lacerated kidney, so it doesn't look like he's going to lose his kidney.
Fabulous. That's really good. Really good.
But they, this just came out today.
But they're not going to mess around with that. Like, I mean, he's for sure out of the season. There's no hope of him coming back.
No, and because they're also not, they're out of playoff contention because they're 2-6.
There's no hope of him going back. So
no, and that's
no, no. He's on IR.
We're fine with, like, that stinks for Keenan Allen owners. I feel you, but
yeah,
for Keenan Allen, I mean, we want him back next year. He's young, and he deserves to play in the NFL. He's a fabulous, fabulous player. So so that's good news. Sorry for freaking everybody out. Back it up. Back it up.
No, but it's a good reminder that that is serious stuff.
This absolutely, serious stuff. You guys. And everybody's getting injured. And this week, week 9, everybody's on bye as well. Arizona Cardinals, Baltimore Ravens, Detroit Lions, Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs, and Seattle Seahawks. Get them out of your lineup. Sorry. That's a lot. I'm really, really sorry. But make sure to listen to us on Block Talk Radio /HerFantasyFootball. And on iTunes, you can leave us a nice, friendly 5-star rating if you'd like. Also, check us out on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Network, or Fantasy Sports Radio, excuse me, Saturday night from 8 to 10 Eastern. If you have any questions, you can call in, ask us all the good stuff. We'll give you our best response. You have all 3 of our opinions, like you always do. And make sure to subscribe to us at HerFantasyFootball.com so you can play our fun FanDuel game Diced, where we have 4 ingredients that you have to put in your lineup and you win a fun prize from us. Also, you can chat with us on Twitter at HerFantasyFB and on Facebook.com/HerFantasyFootball. Until next time, no more faking it.